My name is Rob Shimwell. I'm a retired vicar, supposedly. And it's my privilege this morning to speak to you on this wonderful passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, which we're going to read in a minute. But first we're going to... Well, it would be so good if we could hear this story for the very first time. We'd never heard it before, and all the accretions of years could be vanished, and we could just sit and wonder at this story. But we're going to pray that Advent might be a time when God's word comes to us afresh. It's a responsive prayer. I'll lead you in the first part and then you respond. So let's be quiet. Lord God, we hunger and thirst after many things. Come and create a deep longing within us so that we may delight to be in your presence. Sound the alarm within our souls that we may awake from our spiritual drowsiness and watch and wait for Christ's coming. Redeemer God, come as we seek to open our hearts, creating a welcome space for you to abide. Startle us, Lord, and rescue us from that which distracts us from knowing your grace and love. Inspire our preparation and guide our worship that our Advent waiting might lead to Bethlehem's manger. Gracious and ever-present God, over the centuries your people have prayed, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come, as we make our journey through this Advent season. Be amongst us by your guiding spirit. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and open our hearts that we may truly worship in spirit and truth your Son who is coming again. Amen. And now, as if for the very first time, Luke chapter 1.
Today's reading is on page 1026, Luke 1, 39-55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to his fathers." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
We've heard the word of the Lord. Let's pray. As we prayed before, Lord God, sound the alarm within us, that we may awake from our spiritual drowsiness and watch and wait for Christ. Amen. It's the song Mary sang when she became pregnant by the intervention of God's Holy Spirit. It's the song that Mary sang when she knew that the child she was carrying was actually the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, being born within her. So it's a deeply personal song, and it's a song from the very depths of who Mary was and what was going on in her life at that time. And as well as being deeply personal and coming from the very depths of who Mary was and what was going on, it's a totally revolutionary song. A song that belonged to Mary and possibly solely to Mary in the unique and very personal situation which will never be anyone else's situation. The second person of the Holy Trinity was being born in her. The Son of God was growing as a child within her womb. So, is it right for us to pray this prayer today? Is it such a personal prayer of Mary's that it cannot be right for us to take it on our lips today? Can we take such a personal and revolutionary song written for such a specific situation by one unique person on our lips today? When Archbishop Temple commissioned missionaries going to India in the first half of the last century, he actually said to them, "You probably ought not to read the Magnificat out loud in public services. It might lead you into trouble." And before the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, it was actually illegal to read the Magnificat in pulpits of churches in Eastern Germany. But the church has sung this song for centuries. Before the demise of evening prayer in parish churches, it was sung every Sunday evening and through the week as well. And it's completely right that this was so, and we should still pray this prayer, sing this song. Why? First, it's a song about God's power, God's holiness, God's faithfulness in Mary's life. Listen to what she said. "My soul glorifies the Lord, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Because Mary, in a way we just do not understand, experienced God's power. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, said the angel to her. She experienced God's holiness. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Mary experienced God's faithfulness. Nothing is impossible with God, and Mary believed that. Elizabeth said to her, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary experienced God's power, God's holiness, and God's faithfulness, and she celebrated it. And it's also true for us as Christians. The song that Mary sang, celebrating God's power and holiness and faithfulness in her life, is true for us as well. The power of God will overshadow you, said the angel to Mary. The power of God has worked in our lives when we became Christians. The same Holy Spirit who caused Jesus to be born in Mary is the Spirit who worked in us, bringing us God's new life. The same Holy Spirit gave to us that understanding that we are in a new relationship with God. The same Holy Spirit has worked in Mary, worked within us, coming to live within us, and beginning to reshape our lives, teaching us of God's holiness. The same Holy Spirit that came to Mary teaches us about God's faithfulness. And arguably, we know more about God's power and holiness and faithfulness than did Mary. Because we know the end of the story. She didn't. She didn't know that the one to be born would eventually hang on the cross. She didn't know that the one to be born would be raised from the dead. She didn't know that through the sacrifice of the one to be born of her on the cross, God's power and love and faithfulness would be demonstrated to generations and to you and me. We know the whole story. Mary didn't. Therefore, we can definitely sing her song, because with her, we've experienced God's power and God's holiness and God's faithfulness. And secondly, we can sing this song because it's a song about God's care for Mary. My soul glorifies the Lord, said Mary, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has been mindful. That's a fairly unusual word in the New Testament. It comes again in Luke's account of Jesus' life in chapter 9, where he says, a man in the crowd called out, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. I beg you, it's the same word, to be mindful, to regard, to pay attention, to not ignore my son. And God had been mindful of Mary. He had paid attention to her in a very special way. He'd looked at Mary, and his favor was on Mary. He'd worked in her by his Holy Spirit, causing the Son of God to grow within her. He protected the relationship that she had with Joseph. Without God's care, without God's attention to their lives, that relationship would have fallen apart, because Joseph just would not have understood what was going on, and Mary wouldn't either. And so God spoke to Joseph about what had happened to Mary. He spoke to them about the name they were to give the child. God guided them away from the cruel hands of Herod when they fled into Egypt. He told them when it was safe to return to Nazareth. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He's looked upon, he's taken care of us, he's paid attention to us. And that is true for everyone here this morning who has put their lives into the hands of Christ. God has looked upon you. God has paid attention to you. God has been mindful. The creator of the universe, the powerful God, has come to you, and his attention has been on you, working in you his purposes, so that you might be able to say with Mary, yes, I have a faithful God. He cared for me. He continues to care for me. He will always care for me. His attention is on my life. And you can look back and you can see how God has brought you step by step to where you are today. And believing that, you can believe that God will take you step by step into the future, come what may. God's attention is on you if you've put your life into the hands of Christ, just as his attention was on Mary. He has been mindful of me. What a wonderful phrase. Yes, we can definitely sing this song because we, with Mary, experience God's care and attentiveness. And thirdly, we can sing this song because it's a song in which Mary praises God for her salvation. My soul glorifies the Lord, sung Mary. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. The visitation of Gabriel to Mary assured her that she was loved by God. It assured her that God had turned her whole life around, performing a miracle, lifting her up from her humble existence. God in Christ had become Mary's Saviour, and she rejoiced. And that is true for all Christians. And possibly, again, more than Mary, we can know God's salvation. We do know God's salvation and can sing about it and praise it. She didn't know the end of the story, that Christ would die and rise again and be ascended to the right hand of God and take the name of Jesus as Lord and rule over the whole of creation as the Lord of absolutely everything. She didn't know that, but we know it. We know the story of Jesus and its wonder and its glory. And we praise God for our salvation. We have celebrated the gift of Jesus this morning in bread and wine. We have thanked God for the gift of Jesus and for our salvation because of Jesus through the cross. Mary saw this through a glass darkly, looking forward. We see it crystal clear, looking back in reality, in history, to Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. We can definitely sing this song because we, with Mary, experience God's salvation and mercy. And fourthly, it's a song about God's new order of things because of the birth of his son to Mary. Mary realized that Jesus being born within her and to her was going to change everything. My soul glorifies the Lord. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Because of the birth of my boy, said Mary, the birth of the Son of God, everything is different now. There is a new order, and nothing can ever be the same again. The proud are scattered. Rulers are dethroned. The rich are expelled. The hungry are raised up. The humble are raised up, and the hungry are fed. A totally new order of things. Things had been turned on their head. Because, you see, for Mary, everything had changed. She had had to put aside her own wants and desires. I'm sure Mary and Joseph had it all planned out. When they would have their first child, when they would have their second one, and how the family life would be planned. But that had all gone. Everything in their hopes and dreams had been shattered, and life had been turned upside down, and Mary's pride had been shattered. as she became an object of ridicule in the community because she was pregnant whilst only betrothed to Joseph. But she was honoured by God. Honoured by God and lifted up, blessed to become the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. Mary was completely taken up with her own plans for her wedding to Joseph and her future. But God stepped in and changed everything, filling her life literally with Christ, the Son of God. He had acted with the strength of his arms, that amazing Old Testament phrase used when God intervenes personally with his strength and power. And that is true for all of us as Christians. When we submit to Christ as Lord, when we give over our lives and say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge, God, by his Holy Spirit, begins what the Bible calls the process of sanctification. His Holy Spirit reorders our mindset, our values, our plans, our aims, our reactions. Reordering our lives. Why? Well, he wants us to become more like Christ. He wants us to become more like the Son of God and less the self-centered people we once were and can so easily revert to being. This was not only true for Mary. It's not only true for us. It must be true for us. And it's to be true in this world. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, and yes, we do not see how or why or where, but God works, having regard for those who fear him, scattering the proud, as a sower scatters the seed as far from him as he can. God lifts up the humble and brings down rulers from their throne. He's in charge, establishing his new order. He sends the rich away empty, but fills the hungry with good things. It's a totally new order of things that God introduces into the world. And so often we are content with the world's order because that is far more comfortable. I used to say, when I was a vicar in various churches, you know, our church has got to be more like a battleship and less like a cruise liner. God's new order of things has got to permeate our lives, permeate the church, so that it can permeate the world. Unless it permeates us and the church, God's new order of things can never be shed abroad in the world. Why? Because, strangely enough, he's chosen his church to be Christ in the world. And that means, to put it at its most basic level, we've got to change, just like Mary did. So yes, we can sing this song and pray this song, because we want to see God at work in the world. And lastly, it's a song about Mary's intimate relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. Yes, Mary remains unique, blessed amongst women, because it was she who was chosen by God to carry in her womb the living, heart-beating, physical body of the Son of God. The Holy One to be born was the Son of the Most High, Jesus, the Saviour. And day by day, as those 9 months went by, Mary became aware of what every mum experiences, the growing life and movement of the baby within her, culminating in his birth in the stable at Bethlehem. Her relationship with Jesus as his mother was unique. But listen to St. Paul Writing to the church in Galatia, he said, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. And then, a few verses later, in the same chapter 4 of the letter to Galatians, he says, my dear children, I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Christ was formed in Mary. And Paul prays that Christ may be formed in us. And yes, Mary experienced the growth of the physical body of the Son of God within her in a totally unique way. But every Christian must experience the growth of Christ within him or her, for himself or herself. What was true for Mary must be true in a very profound sense for Christians everywhere. When we become Christians, what happens? Well, God begins to form Christ in us by the work of his Holy Spirit. Until, as he puts it in Romans 8, Paul says, you are conformed to the image of Christ. So when we got out of our pews and shared the peace with each other, we were pregnant with Christ. We carried Christ to each other. When you walk down the aisle of Tesco or Aldi or wherever you shop, you are pregnant with Christ. You carry Christ. When you get up in the morning and start another day, whether you live on your own or whether you live with your family, you carry Christ. You are pregnant with Christ as Christ is formed in you. When you drive in your car, you are pregnant with Christ. You carry Christ. When you arrive at work or at the restaurant or the coffee shop or wherever you spend time during the week, you are pregnant with Christ. You carry Christ with you. In every personal relationship, and in every situation, we are, can I put it like this? It's very evident when we're pregnant. It shows. And we are to carry Christ, just as Mary carried Christ, because he is being formed in us, just as he was formed in Mary. And our response, hour by hour, moment by moment, is to be the same as Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now that begs a question. And on this question, as we just explore it for a moment or two, I want to end. How is Christ to be formed in us? Well, the answer, if you were to write it down in pen and ink or say it in a few words, is very simple. The working out of it is not simple. It's this. How? The Son of God comes to us and shapes us from within if we trust him to come and shape our lives. The Son of God takes shape within us as we abandon ourselves to him. Or to put it another way, Christ forms himself in our lives as we let go of everything in life which we have attempted to shape on our own. Christ takes shape in our lives as we say to him that we are willing to be shaped by God acting in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we cease to be resistant and we take our own amateur hands off our lives, which actually belong to God anyway, and admit that we are probably not quite such good artists as he is at shaping our lives, then God presses the shape of his own face into the clay of our lives and begins to form his image in our lives. Let me say that again. When we reckon that we can take our own amateur hands off our lives, which belong to God anyway, and when we admit that we're not such good artists as he is, then Christ presses the shape of his own face into the clay of our lives and forms his image in our lives. So how can Christ be formed in our lives? By trusting God. By trusting Christ completely, with all you are, with all I am, with all you have been, with all I have been, with all you want to be, with all I want to be. And by trusting that God will make of you, as Christ is formed in your life, what he wants, and believing that that is to be vastly preferred over what we can make of our lives and ourselves. It was true for Mary, and it worked. And it could be true for us. Mary stood before God as the angel came to her, very vulnerable, very unprotected. And so do we, as we bow our heads and pray now. Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our heads before you now in total vulnerability, without any protection. And we pray that we may be willing to allow you complete freedom to work in our lives. Take possession of us and press into the clay of our lives the image of Christ, so that he may be born in us, formed in us, until we come to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Be mindful of our weakness, and help your servants, remembering to be merciful, so that with Mary we may glorify God in our lives.